Hello, everyone. Welcome to NBA Unwrapped, episode 54. I'm Corbin Reinerman, joined by, as always, Perry Aston and Christian McGowan. Guys, what's going on?
What's up, everybody?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Not too much that happened this week in the NBA, right? It's off season, so like
it's just Anthony Davis Palooza.
Oh shoot!
Lakers in six.
That's how we're feeling.
Lakers in six. It's happening.
We're gonna get to the Anthony Davis stuff. We're gonna get to the Mike Conley trade. We're gonna get to what in the world is happening with the Celtics.
Right.
We're gonna get to the NBA champions, the Raptors, and much more. But first, just want to remind you guys to go ahead and follow us on Twitter at NBA Unwrapped. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Unwrapped. Perry on Twitter at Perry Aston and Christian on Twitter at McGowan75. If you don't follow our network page on Twitter, go ahead and do that as well at Unwrapped Sports. You can check out our website at unwrappedsports.com. We have a lot of really good articles on there, a lot of partner podcasts as well that we have listed there, so you can get access to all of them through our website. Also, make sure to listen to our podcast either on the Apple iTunes podcast app, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and of course Anchor. If you guys are listening to us on the Apple iTunes podcast app, please go ahead and give us a 5-star review. It really helps us just continue to expand our reach, and in turn, we're able to keep generating really good content for you guys. So with that, let's try to sort through the madness that has ensued and the less than a week since the NBA offseason started?
Yeah, Christian and I were here less than a week ago talking about basketball. There's so much that's happened, and the crazy stuff is, I think so much is going on that the fact that the Raptors are champions is slightly being overshadowed. Like, no one's talking
about
it. It's
completely being overshadowed.
I mean, our newsletter talked about it. My first sentence was talking about their parade. 2 million people showed up. From Toronto. That's crazy.
So just no one went to work that day.
2 million out of 3 million. That's the entire population. Everyone and their mother literally went to this parade. So shout out to the city of Toronto. Congrats to them. Their first appearance in the NBA Finals and first, obviously, NBA Finals championship.
Right. Never lost.
Everyone was at that parade, including that one Lakers fan with the
We got
Anthony Davis. And just reminding everyone.
Little victories, guys. Little victories. You got to celebrate them wherever
you're at. That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was trolling at its finest. We appreciated that in LA.
But let's start with, before we get into the Anthony Davis trade and everything else that has happened since the offseason started, let's talk about the NBA Finals, the Raptors, the Warriors, what our takeaways are from that series, and what the outlook is for each of those teams going forward. So let's start with the NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors. Perry, I'll start with you. What is this team's future going forward? Obviously, it hinges on Kawhi Leonard.
For me, my gut feeling still says Kawhi Leonard stays. And I know that I feel like it's an unpopular opinion at this point, but I've said it since the day he got traded. You both are my witnesses, and every one of our listeners,
we have it on our podcast.
Every podcast we've ever brought up the option of Kawhi Leonard going anywhere else besides Toronto, I've immediately shut it down, saying he's going to stay. He signed that New Balance deal in that market. He just won an NBA championship. He's already the best Raptor of all time. Give me a better one. I was trying to have that debate with other people the other day.
People would say Kawhi Leonard.
Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady. I was like, you clearly haven't watched basketball fully paid attention, because this is a guy that just took this team that no one expected to dethrone the defending champions, who, of course, we said would have to beat themselves with suspensions, injuries, and unfortunately, that's what happened. But you asked me about the Raptors. So I think Kawhi Leonard stays. I really do. They're going to find a way to keep him there. Toronto, there's so many places that there's a sign outside restaurants that say Kawhi eats here for free. If you guys haven't seen that, there's a ton of places that people are actually making this countrywide effort to keep Kawhi Leonard in the only team that's not in the States, which is crazy. So I think it's the perfect personality, the perfect guy to stay. Danny Green, all these other guys that contributed, Serge Ibaka, you know, Jeremy Lin cheerleading from the bench. So many people, you know, jokes aside, they deserve that championship. Kyle Lowry stepped up.
Gasol.
I love to shit on Kyle Lowry, but you got to give him that respect. He stepped up, even though he hit the side of the backboard. No, it got blocked. I know. But I'm going to ride that. But still, the Raptors deserve that. They took advantage of a team when they were down. They completely kept their composure. Kawhi has to have a lot of credit. But Nick Nurse, first-year coach, and you're an NBA champion, Christian and I talked so much crap about you, man, and you really came through. So that's shout out to the city of Toronto. You guys celebrated hard. You deserve that. And I'm excited to see what happens in the future for you guys. This may be the peak, but you got a finals championship. So that's what – it's the top of the NBA. You know, it's what you hope
it's
for.
What they it's traded what you for go with for. Kawhi Leonard. And if Kawhi does
it's
leave –
it's like the Cavs when LeBron came home. It's that same thing. Like the Messiah came and won you a championship. You're going to have to take your little
victory. The Messiah
victory.
With Masai Ujiri.
Wow.
That was clever.
That was cute. I like
Thank
that.
You.
I like the NBA Finals this year. It was like watching a really poor boxer beating up a really good boxer who just happens to be injured or past their prime. But I seeing Kevin Durant get injured the way that he did and then Klay Thompson hurting his ACL.
Freak
injuries, and it definitely didn't feel good. But in the same instance, I'm not about to put an asterisk next to their championship because – in the end of the day, a championship is a marathon, so you have to complete the race to win it. So they didn't complete the race. Unfortunately, they got injured at the very end, and it's sad to say, but you got to stay healthy to win the whole thing. Now, I agree with you, Perry. I think Kawhi Leonard is going to stay in Toronto. I wouldn't be surprised if he does leave, though, because he's that type of cat where...
You don't know what he's thinking.
You don't.
You can't
he's
tell.
The hardest superstar in recent NBA history to get a read on of what he's going to do because he just does not talk, which that's fine. Like, that's his personality, but he doesn't talk to anyone.
Did you see the picture of his daughter when he was carrying his daughter at the parade and then someone put it on Twitter and said, she looks quiet too?
Yes, it's so funny.
It's true. She does. And, I mean, he is that guy that's going to hold it down in Toronto in a weird market with – his weird endorsement with New Balance in the only team that's not in the States, the weirdest situation for an NBA team. It's just so perfect that if he leaves, I'll be hurt.
I saw in one of our contributors had tweeted that Kawhi Leonard should turn into the guy who goes to signs 1 year max deals at franchises that have never won a championship and just brings them a championship each year like Santa Claus. Like, that would be a pretty cool like little narrative to write, but in terms of him staying with the Raptors and winning again next year, I just don't see them, especially with how Los Angeles is currently constructed, that they will win another championship. But as injuries have shown, you never know. I mean, LeBron, hope not. Maybe he could get injured again and miss the playoffs. See, there's a lot of things that could happen. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like this is a one-off, and that's why we should celebrate so hard for the Raptors is because I don't think we're going to see this again.
This is awesome. I'm not going to stop celebrating for them because I think it's just so cool to see people
all
that
summer
haven't won before taste it for the first time. Right. We were blessed to grow up in LA where there's a lot of rich history here, but a lot of teams don't have championships. Mm-hmm. Their father hasn't seen one. His father hasn't seen one. And you're a part of it. You're at that parade. It's special. I think it's awesome. And you got to give them a round of applause.
Well, think about the Eagles, too, then when they had won their championship. I mean, Carson Wentz was, for most of their season, their best player, and for him to go down and then for them to win their first championship with a backup, I mean, that was incredible. That's, you know, one championship where I knew the Eagles probably wouldn't get back there again just because they're not the best managed team. I know they draft really well, but there's a reason why they've only won one championship. But same thing with the Raptors. Like, I'm going to celebrate this one all summer. Like, I'm just going to be really happy for them. I already got my Vince Carter jersey. I got it a while back.
I got so much maple syrup in my fridge right now. I loaded up hard.
I have an actual question, though. Do the Raptors visit the White House, or do they go to like an IHOP or something? Like, what's the protocol? Like,
you act like it's just like ran by the people in Canada. Like, there's a place to go.
There is
Canada
a prime minister, but like,
that's what that would be the better question. Like, would they go there or the White House? That one I don't know the answer to, but to an IHOP, you're an idiot.
Like, where maybe like the maple syrup making capital of the world? I don't know.
You guys are
Canada?
So dumb.
I don't know, but. Yeah, I want to put in my two cents, too, on the Raptors situation. Then we'll go through the Warriors as well. With the Kawhi Leonard trade, if Kawhi leaves, the trade was still a huge success.
Oh,
this is what you traded for.
Oh,
was
absolutely.
To get over the LeBron-sized mountain that you couldn't before.
Yeah.
LeBron leaving obviously helped, but Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors were on a mission this year. It's incredible that now we can truly say the NBA is truly an international game because there have been teams. This is supposed to be an American sport, but now there's a team in a different country winning the American sport in an American league, which is really cool to see.
And let me just say, this year, the two main awards that we pay attention to, we don't know an MVP yet, which is weird.
But it's most likely going to be
Giannis. It's going to most likely be Giannis, an international player, yeah. and the Rookie of the Year, which I think is the second most intriguing, will most likely be Luka Doncic. Yep. So two international players that have so much impact on the game right now. We just saw Dirk Nowitzki walk away from the game, who is the best international player of all time, in my opinion. I don't think that's a debate, but other people could throw out other names. I think he is the best, and if not,
Hakeem Olajuwon.
And he is the most underrated player in the NBA history, in my opinion. I think he's got a ring. He's single-handedly carried a team for his whole career, so loyal, and people aren't going to talk about him as much. It's almost like Tim Duncan. You know, people just forget to talk about him as much as some other players that have more name recognition, were a little more flashy. Yep. So I think that's just the case with him as well.
Yeah, yeah. And with the Raptors, as far as if Kawhi Leonard stays or if he doesn't, like I said, he's the hardest superstar in recent NBA history to read. I would say it's about 50-50 on if he stays or goes, but part of that's just because I just don't know. If I had to guess, I'd say he leaves just because Toronto's a great city, but if you had your heart set, especially on being in LA, that could not be two completely different scenarios. Right. And
I don't know, when you're standing up there in the parade and you're getting your name chanted, you're eating so for free, like you are the best player in that history of the team. You're a king. Like, I feel like, how do you walk away from a championship? What scenario is better than he's just in?
You could be by the beach in a nice house.
Not life-wise. I mean, team-wise. Like, you're leaving the defending champions.
If he goes to the Clippers right now, the Clippers would be a better team than the Raptors, like, head and shoulders.
No, I'm just saying, but technically right now, he is on the best team in the league.
Right.
He is on the best team in the league. So to leave would have to be very worth it. He's the best player in that franchise history getting treated like a king. I feel like, how do you leave that?
Just to give an update, the Lakers' odds in the past 24 hours have jumped from plus 1,500 to plus 600 that he would sign with Los Angeles. So just want to note that Vegas always is in tap with something that we're not in tap with. And so to see his likeliness rise, I just thought it was something really interesting. I know I had saw that before.
I want to piggyback on that point. So part of the reason, at least from what I've been able to uncover, for why those odds have gone up. So there was a report 2 days ago, Damon Jones on Get Up on ESPN said that if the Lakers had enough cap space to offer a max contract to Kawhi Leonard, that he had talked to someone very close to him that Kawhi Leonard would strongly consider joining the Lakers. The next day, Adrian Wojnarowski kind of shot down that report, but people took what he said to be much bigger than what it was. Adrian Wojnarowski is someone who has been reporting in the league for a long time. And anytime he reports on anything that has to do with sourcing people that he's talked to, he has always said, according to the sources that I've talked to or according to someone close to the situation, he was on Get Up yesterday, the same show that Damon Jones was on, 2 days ago on Monday. We're recording on Wednesday evening. So Monday, Damon Jones was on it. Tuesday, yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski was on it. And he said that if Kawhi Leonard leaves the Raptors, it would be for Los Angeles, but he'd be thinking about joining the Clippers, not the Lakers. When he said all of that, he never mentioned anything about how he had talked to anyone else or according to any sources. What he said was he started off by saying, because of the Anthony Davis trade being constructed on July 6th, the Lakers, as it stands right now, would not have enough room to offer Kawhi Leonard a max contract. Then he said, Kawhi Leonard will only accept a max contract from wherever he goes. And then he somewhat deduced, because of that reasoning, since the Lakers can't offer him a max and he needs a max, if he goes to LA, it'll be for the Clippers. Since Wojnarowski made his appearance yesterday morning, he himself reported that the Lakers are trying to figure out a way to create max cap space, which we're actually going to get into when we talk about the Anthony Davis trade in a second. So I'm not surprised to see the Kawhi Leonard stuff going up. It makes sense that there's no way. Adrian Wojnarowski said that Kawhi Leonard wouldn't even give the Lakers a meeting. If they have max cap space, LeBron James and Anthony Davis is 100% getting a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. If LeBron James was talking to Kawhi like Wojnarowski had reported before Anthony Davis came to LA, he's getting to talk to him again with Anthony Davis.
Right. We should talk about just briefly about the Warriors side of it, because we just brought up the Raptors and we're not going to dive too deep, but we did cover the fact that Kevin Durant already tore his Achilles, and with Klay Thompson with the freak injuries, like you mentioned, Christian, there's a lot of now controversy with these two players for a free agency that we'll dive more into next week with our episode that's going to highlight where we think a lot of these free agents are going to go. But with the Warriors, it's kind of like, what's next for them, right? Because we have this dynasty that's amazing, that's been winning constantly, and now they get upset or at least beat themselves with injuries, and now we're all questioning if it's it for them or what's next. And I truly believe that they'll be right back in it as soon as, you know, KD and Klay come back from injuries, assuming they, you know, re-sign. If that's the case, this year they'll be competitive, you know, with Steph Curry at the helm and Draymond and other players that have been there, but I don't think they'll be much more than a six seed, something like that, and maybe win the first round because of strict experience and coaching. But past that, I just don't see the Warriors doing much without that much star power with how the Lakers and other teams that we just mentioned are loading up. So the Warriors, is it over? Is it to be continued? There's a lot now that lingers on what happens with Klay and KD, but the Warriors seem to always get better. The rich get richer is what we've always said, and we didn't expect this to happen, obviously. So I don't think this is the last that we've heard from them. I don't think the dynasty is over, as people are saying, but the Warriors winning every single year may be over. But I think you're not going to be able to shake them easily. They'll come back. They'll be back, and they'll figure it out with people coming in and with KD and Klay, and we're not going to get into all that right now.
Let's do this really quickly. So just one word answer, yes or no. Is Kevin Durant on the Warriors next year?
Yes, and yes. Klay Thompson as well. Yes and yes.
I think Klay is on there. KD, I'm not.
I think they just certain. Both take that. Klay will play at some point, and
Klay should be back at some point.
KD is a scratch for the year, so you give him a max as a loyalty thing. He sits for that year, and you run it with Steph at the helm with Draymond for most of the year. Klay comes back at some point, and you make it as a fifth or a sixth seed. You win a first round, and then you get bounced, and then the next year it's the Warriors are back, and we see what's up with that. But this is why now the Lakers and other teams need to go all in and seize this window of opportunity, just like the Raptors did at the perfect timing when they made the perfect trades. Not just Kawhi, that's Marc Gasol right there towards the end, and even picking up guys in the buyout market. They were smart with where they were going, so the Raptors really did the right moves. And that brings up our next point about their general manager now potentially getting a record-breaking deal from the Wizards. They're willing to give everything in the kitchen sink to him. What was it? $8 million or
it was
$10 million? $10 million. Some crazy number for this kind of position, and that's because they're calling him the architect, the guy that built this championship team, the guy that just brought Toronto a championship out of nowhere, took down the Warriors. I think it's amazing what he did, and I think he deserves a big contract. I don't know if this money is just, but the Wizards don't have a full-time GM right now, guys. They have a part-time GM, whatever situation they have. This is similar to the 76ers last year before going with Elton Brand, where Brett Brown was kind of the GM, but kind of not. It's a weird situation to be in. Like, you're about to go into the draft tomorrow and into the beef of free agency without a full-time GM. Put that in perspective for you. So whoever is there, you're the Jets right now. You have someone that's not going to be there in charge after these two monumental events that happened for your team during this offseason. So you're in the worst position possible if you're going to ask me. So they need to get moving on finding a full-time GM, and they're shooting for the stars, trying to get the best in the business right now. And if they can't, who's next? So need to give him all the money they can, because they're screwed right now.
That's why it's strange that the Pelicans, part of the Anthony Davis trade was they got the fourth pick. They've apparently been in discussions with the Wizards about coupling the fourth pick along with something else to get Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards. But like you said, the Wizards don't have a GM, so it just doesn't make sense who is communicating on behalf of the Wizards and how can they make this trade without
hiring. It has to be through their Twitter page or something. Yeah.
DM me all requests for Bradley.
Yeah, we got to figure out this Beal deal. So
I'll give you my 06 Jeep Cherokee. Like, I don't know what.
Yeah, so I mean, it's weird to see. And some weird news as well that we forgot to bring up for the parade. There was a shooting at the parade. I don't have full details on it. We reported it onto the Twitter, but it was definitely screwed up to see in a time where it's so happy and everyone's celebrating. And we said 2 million people there, so everyone was there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something like this happens and you see reports of this online, and it's really, really sucks to see. So that's just what we wanted to bring up. It sucks, but we wanted to report it just like we did on Twitter as well.
Yeah, and then one quick thing with the Masai Ujiri stuff, that right after the Raptors won the championship, apparently he got into an altercation with apparently the security guard wasn't letting Masai Ujiri through to get onto the podium because Masai Ujiri reportedly didn't have his credentials. You would think that the security guard would know who Masai Ujiri was anyways. But there's been some conflicting reports that he did have his credentials, so we're not even sure what exactly happened with that. I don't really want to speculate at all with that, but that's just something to monitor.
All right. Another weird situation to come from all the happiness in Toronto.
Let's move on to another weird situation.
Yeah, Chris Paul
and the Rockets. So
there was drama reported, and we even tweeted it out right when everybody else did, that him and James Harden had an unsalvageable relationship, quote unquote, that it was broken, that he demanded a trade from Houston with that massive contract. It gets put on Instagram from Bleacher Report. CP3 comments and says, "News to me," and shuts down everything that is really going on. And Vince Goodwill, I believe it was, lost a decent amount of credibility, to be 100% honest, for tweeting something that wasn't true. Rockets executives shut it down too. Chris Paul clearly shut it down, and now he's backtracking a lot. But we need to talk about, is there some truth to this? Is this reporting out of nowhere? Because this is a guy with a pretty high reputation, a reporter. I feel like unless he got fed bad news, like Skip Bayless, like you said, when he
the Barry McConaughey
reported,
account,
man boobs on.
Did he get him twice? Did that account get breached?
What happened to Skip Bayless?
So he had Barry McConaughey, the fake account on Twitter. It was sometimes really hilarious.
Yes,
tweeted out a fake story about how Chris Paul had made fun of James Harden's man boobs and James Harden had left practice. And then had Barry McConaughey had also tweeted underneath and said, "Get hashtag man boobs trending on Twitter." And when on Undisputed with Skip Bayless, he said that he says, my sources have said that there was an altercation during the season between Chris Paul and James Harden, referencing his man boobs.
Regarding man boobs.
And it literally was.
When did he say that? Today?
Today.
Oh, my God.
Today. Wednesday.
Yeah, so he got skipped. But CP3, I saw another funny thing about how everybody understands why James Harden burnt down Chris Paul's kitchen now in the State Farm ad.
I saw when there's a clip of him when he's in the car with Oscar from The Office. He says, "What if it was 30 minutes of him just complaining about James Harden?" He goes, "Hey, man, it's just a commercial."
Do you remember the commercial when he was like, "So what do you think about Houston drafting a point guard?" And he was like, "Really, dude?" And in my head, I saw it today, of course, and was like, relevant, you know? So
you should probably stop there.
So yeah. CP3, we're not sure what's going on with him. There could be drama going on. Regardless, they're in an awful situation. You said it, Christian. I remember you, word from word, said it right when this contract happened for CP3. You said 2 to 3 years from now, we're going to be talking about how they're trying to get rid of this contract. You said it yourself. I remember quote from quote. That's a good memory of mine. But seriously, they should be looking how to get rid of this contract. Even if these reports are false, the fact that anyone would even offer you anything for this massive of a contract shows that, you should be taking that immediately. Right. Like, you get out of it now. Like, while you still have time and a window of opportunity to win a championship, shed Chris Paul now if you had the opportunity to. But
I don't think
it's going to happen. Yeah, it's just not going to happen. There's too much on the line with this contract, and he's too old, too injury prone.
Right.
But he's really, really good still if you're the Rockets. So it's this
weird
in-between thing for them. But definitely
weird
to hear
that
there
was
drama.
How the West, for the first time since the Warriors started their reign, is pretty close to just being completely wide open. Trading away Chris Paul, even if he has a really bad relationship with James Harden, you trade him away, you are going to get, in terms of what his value is right now, because of how horrible his contract is going forward, you are going to get pennies on the dollar for him. Right. And by trading him away, yes, maybe you shed some salary, but you're basically saying, okay, we're giving up on winning a championship right now.
Right.
Because it's not like trading. If the Lakers trade away Chris Paul, I believe if they're not still over, I think they'd be slightly under the salary cap if they took no salary back, which would be tough because they'd need to find a team with at least like $37 million in cap space to eat up his contract, which would be tough to do. But you're not going to be able to clear him and then be able to sign a new max player. So they'd just be saying, no, thank you. We don't want to compete for a championship.
Right. So weird news, another bit right there. So we'll see what happens with Chris Paul and with the Rockets. And if anything comes of it, I really think there may be something underlining. But regardless, like you said, the West is finally, quote unquote, wide open for the first time since the Warriors' run really actually started. Now, drum roll, please.
Oh, knock something over.
We're that excited, guys. Anthony Davis, guys. He's a Laker. A lot's happened since the last time we talked, Christian.
We had trade Jeannie Buss away, too.
We just landed Anthony Davis in Los Angeles. So it's a great time here. Everyone's excited about the possibilities now and the fact that what's been flirted with for about a half a year has finally happened.
Right.
But there are details here that we need to get into to talk about the logistics of the trade and the aftermath for the Los Angeles Lakers and for the Pelicans, because we should be talking about that too. They really sped up that rebuild, tell you that right now.
Right.
And that's going to segue a little bit into some NBA draft talk as well, because of the fact that the Pelicans now sit in a very good position with two picks in the top 10, one being Zion Williamson.
Two in the top
five.
Yeah, top five. Four. So huge, huge. And they're going to really find a way to, on top of the core that they have, build even more. Drew Holiday's there. I think it's a decent team. You know, who knows?
Let's say what the full trade was.
Anthony Davis.
We'll talk about how we think both teams did, and then I'll break down the salary cap implications for everything. So, details of the trade: Lakers traded away Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, the number 4 pick in this year's draft, Josh Hart, two future first round picks, including a 2021 draft pick, which is a reverse protection where if it lands in the top 8, it goes to the Pelicans. If it's 9 through 30, the Lakers keep it, and then the following year, the Pelicans get an unprotected first-round pick no matter what, no matter where it falls. There's also a 2024 first-round pick, which I believe rolls over to a 2025 first-round pick if the Pelicans choose so. And on top of that, there are, I believe, in 2023 and one other year, there's two pick swaps where the Pelicans, if they have a better record than the Lakers, can swap picks with the Lakers to get their first-round pick, and the Lakers would take the Pelicans' first-round pick. So the Lakers gave, aside from Kyle Kuzma, they gave every asset that they possibly could. You can't trade away two first-round picks in consecutive years. It's the Ted Stipien rule. Ted Stipien was an owner for the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the 80s, and he'd trade away first-round picks left and right for pennies on the dollar. Lakers actually got James Worthy, the number 1 overall pick in the 82 NBA draft, or the 83 NBA draft, after trading like a 23rd overall pick in the first round for the Cavaliers' next year's first-rounder, which happened to be first overall. So because of that, that's why the Lakers couldn't just trade away consecutive first-round picks, thus the pick swaps. But yeah, the Lakers, look, they better hope that, for one, Anthony Davis stays. He can be a free agent after next year.
Oh, he's staying.
Everything looks like, yeah, he should be staying, but again, you never know.
Rich Paul beat him up.
Oh, he's staying after all of this?
All the maneuvering he did, I want to be a Laker.
LeBron's going to guide him to greatness.
Let's give grades, though, on the trade for both teams. So,
A+ and Christian, A+. I think they both, I mean, what did the Lakers want? They want to win right now. What did the Pelicans want? They wanted to wash their hands and rebuild. They basically knocked down the whole building and then rebuilt it in the course of a day. Like, they have young players and assets for a long time. They have assets now. They have assets down the road. Like, I'm really, if I was a Pelicans fan, I'd be happy. And as a Lakers fan, I'm ecstatic. Like, I'm not as knowledgeable with the history of the NBA as you are, but I've never seen a win-win to this degree before. It's what both teams wanted. And I'm just super happy the Lakers got to keep Kyle Kuzma. I mean, imagine if the Pelicans had pulled that trade off with Dell Demps. Like,
in reality, right now, when we're talking as Laker fans, let's put bias into this for a second, just strictly fandom. You add Kyle Kuzma into the mix, and if it had to do with whatever cap, Corbin, you could add whatever cap filler to come back that nobody cares about. But even add Kuzma to this deal. Are you still cool with this? Because I'm still fine with that. I would be less happy. I would, of course, be less happy because keeping Kuzma keeps me happy. The fact that we kept one asset, even if that was Josh Hart, I would have still been pretty happy.
I would have still been happy. You would have been a nice fit.
But if none of them stayed, they put Kuzma in there too. We're still having this conversation. And we're still happy about a win-win. Yeah, it would have been like, okay, I think they kind of got robbed a little bit.
I'd say A-. Yeah, I wouldn't give them a home run.
But still, that is how amazing this trade is, how great of a win-win to where I'm the Pelicans. Like you said, I got assets now. I got assets tomorrow. I got assets in the future. I got the past. It's in the past. I got so many assets I don't even know what to do with.
Celtics.
I don't even know what to do with the assets I have if I'm New Orleans. So I'm ecstatic. And we got Zion coming in with Ingram, Lonzo, Drew, all these guys. Josh Hart, you got to give him credit too. He's amazing. Yeah. I'm going to root for the Pelicans from afar. We got lots of fam out in Louisiana. All of us got tons of friends.
If the Pelicans aren't playing the Lakers, I will be rooting for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab myself a nice jersey. Whoever's got the best number when they announce them, it looks the nicest on one of those.
I rooted for all
Mardi
these
Gras
young
jerseys. That's one of mine. You know, homie Mike, you know what's up. Like, we're going to have to go out and, you know, you come to see a game when they play each other. It'll be stupid expensive, but you know, that's the kind of stuff that we get excited for. We rooted for this young core for a long time as Lakers fans, and they all get to go together and perform. And it's funny enough because now we'll talk about the Pelicans with Julius Randle, who opted out of that last year of his deal. I think he just looked and was like, I played with these guys. I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
He opted out because he was only owed like $9 million.
Yeah,
I'm just messing around.
He's like, I did this before. I'm going to go somewhere else. But in reality, we put up a poll asking you guys where you thought he was going to go. Brooklyn was the eventual winner.
I would love to see him back with the Pelicans. I put
Brooklyn. It was Phoenix as well as Dallas. Ooh. Because he was from there as well. Yeah. All three
Dallas
is a fit for
sense.
Position. All three is a fit cap-wise. And I also put other, you know, respond. Yeah. And then people put whatever they thought would be a cool fit. But in reality, those were the three options that made sense to me. I even looked at a couple reports after I already made the poll and saw those exact three teams on the other people's report. And I swear I didn't even, like, look at those reports before. So that was an affirmation to me that what I was thinking was correct. But with Julius Randle, that's a really interesting piece that he even could potentially go back there and add to that.
Him and Zion on the same team.
It'd be absolutely
so
ridiculous.
It's so big.
But he also has the opportunity to go elsewhere. Like we just said, I would love to see him in Brooklyn. Love, love, love. If that's bringing back D'Angelo Russell, him, and then one other person with the amount of money that Brooklyn has, that's not a strikeout. That's not Kyrie and KD, but you're going to have to figure out plan B and plan C if you're Brooklyn, because I don't think everything's going to go exactly as planned. But Jimmy Butler could end up there. Kemba can end up there. Like, there's a lot of scenarios where different people can end up in Brooklyn. But I very much can see a Tobias Harris along with,
I think so.
Yeah, you know, two other, Julius Randle and someone else to fill that cap space that they still have to fill. And that's a very good team along with the core that they have right there, regardless of what they do with D'Lo. So I'm excited about Brooklyn. I know we got a little bit off topic because of Julius Randle, but the Pelicans are going to be great. The Lakers were ecstatic here because of the fact that Anthony Davis is finally a Laker. We'll figure out the rest later. It's kind of how we all looked at it now, and Corbin is a little bit more in depth than Christian and I are when it comes to the cap casualties that we're having to take now and what we're going to have to do to move around those. But we're going to be able to field a team. Christian and I were joking before the podcast, like, you know, let's hit up Mario Chalmers and
J.R. Smith, J.R.
Smith and Michael Beasley, you know, Melo. We'll hit up the
Please,
Toon
no
Squad,
Lakers.
You know.
D-Wade, honestly.
Yeah, hit up whoever and just come back. Kyle Korver is actually, with jokes aside,
yeah,
that's
no,
a guy
no, no.
that
Korver,
actually
Korver would be a
could
very
happen.
Good
he got traded today, and that's foreshadowing the Conley trade that we'll talk about in a little bit. But that's
a
guy that very much could buy out
candidate.
And come over to a place like Los Angeles that can get him on the veterans minimum. But, you know, jokes aside, the Lakers are in a little bit of a handcuff right now, but they got what they were trying to get. And the Buss family looks a little like they bought themselves some time right now because they were under a lot of heat and they made it happen. You did the right package. You made the right move. Like you said, Christian, ecstatic, both sides. Win, win. Win, 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 win. Like, tons of wins.
Yeah, I think this trade for the Pelicans, this is the largest haul that there has ever been, at least in recent NBA history, for one singular player.
Yep.
And the Pelicans made out incredibly well with this. They
like bandits, absolutely.
Lonzo Ball and Zion Williamson sharing the court on the same team next year is going to be must-watch basketball. I will say this right now. The Pelicans will make the playoffs next year.
Oh, I'm in total agreement with you. I think they can slip in as like a 7 seed right behind the Warriors, who will be playing with Steph Curry and Draymond.
And moving forward, they are going to be a lot of fun. Those pick swaps, I mean, depending on what happens in free agency with the Lakers, but the Pelicans could be swapping picks with the Lakers, and the Lakers might still have a pretty good or pretty bad pick because they'd have a good record. Pelicans moving forward are going to be one of the best teams in the NBA. You look,
oh, like Christian said, two, you got three, assets 4 years now, you got down the road. The future,
yeah, absolutely.
You're the new set. Celtics. They really are the new
and
Celtics.
The defense, that defensive backcourt between Lonzo Ball and Jrue Holiday, that is the best defensive backcourt in the NBA by far.
I'm a big Jrue fan. I know you guys love him too.
Yeah.
Guy that's very underrated, averaged 20 plus points, huge on defense, big leader, is a guy that can lead a team. And I think now is an opportunity for him with a young team for him to be that veteran leader.
Right? And he's not a point guard. He's 6'4", but he's much better as a shooting guard with a true point
Lonzo
guard.
Lonzo and him right there is going to be beautiful.
And now they have Brandon Ingram. The number four Zion. Pick, I would love for them to go with Jarrett Culver. It kind of looks like they might be leaning towards Darius Garland, which
I know.
Garland,
to be honest, guys, I saw
DeAndre Hunter, I think, would be an awful.
I just saw the Timberwolves are flirting with the possibility of trading up from, I believe it's 11 to their number four, and there's reports that multiple other teams were going for that number four pick. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if they just straight up trade that number four.
I've seen reports that they're actually trying to package four and move up to two to pair him with RJ Barrett. So that'd be cool. I like RJ Barrett, but I wouldn't throw the kitchen sink to move up two spots. I wouldn't sacrifice one of the Lakers picks.
And it's funny too, because Garland worked out for the Knicks today, Darius Garland, and they still said afterwards they were dead set on RJ Barrett, and they had him come in for a last minute workout. Like, they were really interested. There was a lot of hype. The guy comes in, works out, and they're like, we're good. Yeah, we're gonna stick with what we're gonna do before.
I just would love to see the Knicks get piggybacked though, and just see the Pelicans take RJ Barrett, and just to see Knicks fans be like, struck out KD, struck out Kyrie, struck out the Zion sweepstakes, struck out the RJ sweepstakes.
It would have been fun just because Zion and RJ were really close at Duke when they were teammates. It would be fun to see them play again, but it looks like that's not going to happen. We'll see, though. But going back to the Anthony Davis stuff, so Pelicans getting an A++. Lakers, look,
You did what you had to do.
You can't really grade this without talking about the execution date of July 6th versus July 30th, which I'll get into in a second. That notwithstanding just the players and picks that were traded in a vacuum, I'd give it a B+.
A-.
You got Anthony Davis, and that, at the end of the day, you were doing everything you could to get Anthony Davis.
Too. Like I said,
Kuzma, to me, I am not nearly as high on Kyle Kuzma.
You kept one person out of our core that can play minutes and contribute on this team.
Yes.
And if that's Josh Hart, him, or somebody else that would have been in that tier, that's exactly what you had to do. And they found a way to do that. A-. There's no way that this gets a high B.
I'm giving them a B+. Kyle Kuzma is 24 years old. He's 2 years younger than Anthony Davis.
Not to say that he is the absolute goal that we got out of this, but it was the fact that, like I said, if we added him in this too and still had to figure out the rest later, we're still dealing with it and we're still fine with it.
Yes, but just look, with everything that the Lakers had to give up, players you gave up, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and the number four pick, which were your three best assets, which, yes, I know you're getting Anthony Davis, but who are you exactly negotiating against? The Boston Celtics never offered Jason Tatum, and there was no report that they were offering him beforehand. There was no other team that was really making a strong offer for Anthony Davis, at least that we knew of. Could be wrong, but it was essentially the Lakers negotiating against himself, and what it looks like might have been the case was that maybe Jeannie Buss or the Buss family told Rob Pelinka, look, you get Anthony Davis or else you are not going to be the GM going forward, which, if that was the case, that was a huge mistake from Jeannie Buss, because if you're telling a general manager, you have to get this one player by all means necessary, except you have to keep Kyle Kuzma. Other than that, though, you have to get this player or else you're gone. Then all the leverage that the Lakers had, Anthony Davis and Rich Paul. Rich Paul went on to Sports Illustrated the day before and said how the Lakers are basically J-Lo of dating for the NBA. And why would he not want to be in L.A.? No way he would go to Boston and sign long-term. He doesn't want to be anywhere except L.A. They had leverage. But Rob Pelinka, if this was the case that he had to get Anthony Davis by all means necessary, he lost all the leverage. He felt the urgency. I need to get this done. I need to get this done quickly.
I'm just glad it got done.
Which could also explain why, look, if Rob Pelinka was just like, yeah, whatever it takes, David Griffin, yes, you need extra picks. Here you go. Pick swaps too. Okay, cool. I thought with the extra picks and the pick swaps that for sure it would be executed on the 30th. Now we're hearing, look, Adrian Wojnarowski, even in his tweets, he never said that the execution date will be July 6th for sure. He said, as of right now, the expectation is it will be executed on the 6th, and that for right now, David Griffin thinks that it will be executed on the 6th. He never said definitively it will absolutely be executed on the 6th, and there's no way it's going back to the 30th. But that's a big, big factor in everything, and the reason why is because if this trade is executed on July 6th instead of July 30th, there is a strong probability, it's not 100%, but there's a strong likelihood that the Lakers have just shot themselves in the foot and made it so that they cannot create enough salary cap room to sign a player to a max deal. The reason why is because the Lakers roster, as it currently stood before the Anthony Davis trade, even taking into account the number 4 overall pick in this year's draft, the salary for that, they were going to have about $32.7 million in salary cap space. To sign a max player with 7 to 9 years of league experience, which is Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, to sign any of them, their max salary would have started at 32.5. So the Lakers would have had just enough cap room to sign them. If the Lakers make this trade on July 30th instead of July 6th, they're not eating into their cap room to sign Anthony Davis. This trade works as is if you have the number 4 overall pick in the draft, their salary counting into the trade. So the way trades work in the NBA is that when you're over the cap, if you're trading salaries out, you can take back up to 125% of the amount of salaries that you're trading out. With draft picks, until they're signed, they don't count anything against the cap in a trade. They still count against the cap when you're trying to sign someone in free agency, but for a trade, that number 4 overall pick, even if it's the actual player after they were drafted, still counts as 0 in the trade.
Right.
So what the Lakers would have need to have done is sign whoever they drafted. Let's say the Pelicans told them, draft Darius Garland, number 4 overall. Okay, Lakers draft him in Thursday.
Just to cut you off right there, I think it's the most screwed up thing to see these guys walking around all of draft day taking photos with this other team's hat when they know they're not a part of that team because of a deal that's in principle or agreed to in principle, and they're rocking this other hat and not able to experience that full draft moment, and they have to now go to that other team afterwards. I think it's weird.
It is, and it all plays back into the NBA's moratorium period where from now until July 6th, the NBA doesn't officially conduct any business. There are no transactions that happen. It does this moratorium period to reset all of its accounting books for all the teams and to set what the actual salary cap will be for next year. So right now, talking about the Lakers
take
having 32.7 million
chakras,
in cap space,
do some
in cap space, that's all based on what the salary cap is projected to be. Could be a little bit different, but usually whatever the projections are, the actual salary cap falls pretty much in line. So going back to the July 6th versus July 30th, if the Lakers had drafted Darius Garland for the Pelicans and then on July 1st they would be able to sign him to an actual contract, when you sign a drafted player to an actual contract, you have to wait 30 days to trade him. That's where the July 30th date comes in, because if they did this including the number 4 overall pick salary, they'd have to wait until at least July 30th. By doing it on July 6th, the Lakers, as it currently stands, because this trade, the salaries wouldn't match up without the number 4 overall pick salaries being included. This trade would have to be used as a team operating under the salary cap, in which they'd be taking Anthony Davis into the salary cap space that they currently have, in which case they would go from having $32.7 million in cap space available down to either $27.7 million in cap space available if Anthony Davis waived his 15% trade kicker. If he didn't waive his 15% trade kicker, they would go to $23.7 million in cap space, which is far off from the $32.5 million needed to sign a player to a max deal with 7 to 9 years of experience.
Now, really quick, you know he's going to waive that trade kicker just to win basketball games.
There's some conflicting reports. Some people are saying Anthony Davis isn't, that he has no intention to. Some people are saying that he will only if the Lakers, if that means the Lakers will sign another max player, which, look, I think in the grand scheme of things, Anthony Davis wanted out of New Orleans. If he had stayed with New Orleans, he wouldn't be getting that trade kicker anyways. So I don't think it's wrong for the Lakers to ask him to waive $4 million extra that he wouldn't have gotten if he was in his previous situation, and now he's going to the situation where he wanted, the city where he wanted. If he has to waive $4 million, he's going to make that back up in endorsements. He already signed, since the trade, he got an endorsement with Ruffles, the chips.
And Ruffles.
Yeah.
I love Ruffles. Those are my favorite.
Oh, Ruffles slap. That's straight up.
Ruffles and some sour cream.
But he's going to make that back on endorsements, and the Lakers are going to be giving him a max contract next offseason anyways. So it's not completely ridiculous to do that. What the Lakers are currently trying to do is keep the execution date for July 6th, but be able to make this trade work where the Lakers could keep their cap space at $32.5 million, sign a max player, and then operate as a team over the cap and make a trade where they're swapping salaries, where they're sending out enough salaries to so that Anthony Davis's trade or Anthony Davis's salary is within 125% of whatever they're sending out. In order to do that, Anthony Davis would need to waive his trade kicker, which would mean his salary would be right about $27 million. And in order to do that, the Lakers, the salaries that would be counted in terms of what they're trading out right now if they were doing it on the 6th would be Lonzo Ball, who's getting roughly a little over $8 million, Brandon Ingram, who's getting a little over $7 million next year, and Josh Hart, who is just under $2 million. That doesn't get you within the 125% of Anthony Davis's $27 million, but what they could do is either offer to the Pelicans or try to get a third team in to take on Mo Wagner's contract, Jamario Jones' contract, and Isaac Bonga's contract. If they could do that, the salaries would be close enough to where they would match. Lakers could sign a free agent to a max deal on July 6th, and then after they sign that player, still on July 6th, they could make the trade with the Pelicans involving Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones, whether it's the Pelicans or a third team, and everything would work. They'd get the max player for the max deal, still get Anthony Davis, and with the three salaries that they'd be trading out, Wagner, Jamario Jones, and Isaac Bonga, whether it's the Pelicans or a different team, they'd really only have to be taking on Mo Wagner, who was a first-round pick last year. Didn't have a great season, but still has some upside as a first-round pick. He has 1 year left on his deal, and then it's two team options for the following 2 years. So you're really just getting him for 1 year. Isaac Bonga and Jamario Jones both have non-guaranteed deals. So whatever team takes them in could literally just cut them right after, and it wouldn't count against their cap at all.
Yeah.
So on the surface, in a vacuum, yeah, it makes sense. Why wouldn't a team want a former first-round pick, take a flyer on him for a year? And if the Lakers need to, look, they're trying to – another aspect of this is that they're trying to buy second-round picks in the draft tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
The reason why they're trying to buy second-round picks as opposed to first-round picks is
cheaper.
That – no. First-round picks count against your salary cap. Second-round picks do not. You can draft a second-round pick, and until you sign them...
You just pay them under the table?
No. Just until you sign them. So they wouldn't sign the second-round pick until after they're done with all their free agency decisions, but they could draft second-rounders and either include them in a trade where a team takes on Mo Wagner, Jamario Jones, and Isaac Bonga, or just keep them to themselves but not sign them until after they've signed whoever they needed to in free agency and on the Anthony Davis trade. And one more quick thing to add. So if the Anthony Davis trade does end up being executed on the 6th and they have to trade him into their cap room. If he waives his trade kicker, the Lakers would be at $27.7 million in cap space. It's about a little under $5 million short of what the max would be for a max player to give them a max deal. What the Lakers could do, this is really unlikely though, is that they could try to convince a player to sign for just under the max at $27.7 million, sign him to a 1+1 deal where it's a player option on the second year. After the first year is over, have him opt out and then use his early bird rights, which means that the Lakers would be able to, even if they're over the salary cap, offer that player 120% of what he was making before, at which point he'd be eligible for a little bit over $34 million for his starting salary, roughly like 34.2, whereas a max for him at that point would be roughly 34.5. So the player could still get to just about a max contract. He'd just be missing out on about $4.5 million.
Yeah, and then LeBron's got you with the Space Jam bonus.
Exactly.
Come on, you're either an executive producer, you're something, you own stock in freaking Blaze or whatever. Like LeBron's so rich, like, let's just make this happen.
Take out the checkbook, bud.
I'm so ready for this championship.
Exactly. So that's what that could look like. But again, that's a really, probably out of everything I've talked about, that's the most unrealistic scenario, but still an option nonetheless. So that's how all of this stuff kind of intertwines. I know it's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, like Corbin catches breath.
It can be a little bit confusing. I love talking about this stuff. When Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out this stuff yesterday, I already thought of how the Lakers could maybe make this stuff work, and I thought they could do something kind of like this. And it was just interesting to see Wojnarowski and Bobby Marks of ESPN tweet this stuff out. But I love talking about this stuff. If you guys are listening and you guys are a little bit confused, feel free to DM me on Twitter at Corbin Unwrapped. I'd be happy to go into more detail. I love talking about salary cap and CBA stuff.
There is more detail to what he just went over. So he will go into even more depth.
Oh, I could do a 2-hour podcast.
We had to censor Corbin today. Like, we straight up told him he couldn't talk a certain amount.
They told me to summarize
that. Yeah, we had to paraphrase things. But the amount of knowledge that you just got from that rant right there is exactly why we have his expertise that helps unwrap, differentiate ourselves from other networks. It's that inside knowledge to cap space and to the money side of this game that the bare fan just doesn't get. Even people that have, you know, so much knowledge like the two of us do right here, getting to know the numbers inside and out is such a rare ability. Like you said, Woj is on that borderline. A guy like Bobby Marks is a specialist, but there's very few people that can talk the way that I'm proud to have Corbin talking on NBA and rap. So we're diving full deep into that, and we're hyped, of course, here in Los Angeles, but we want to move on to a quick tidbit before the second big trade, the one that happened today. But Space Jam 2 came out with their cast, at least some of the cast. I'm not sure if they're all announced
yet. I'm sure there's
going
to be more.
There's more.
There's a role there for Kawhi if he signs with the Lakers.
Having to do with Anthony Davis' trade more. Kicker, that $4 million, he's going to sign for a quick $5 million.
$1 million for the role and $4 million
to make up for that trade kicker. Yeah, you're all good, bro. Like, I got you. Like, and that's nothing for LeBron. He'll pay that out of his own pocket. Like,
I cannot wait for the 30 for 30 on this and how they explain that they get around the $4 million cap hit using Space Jams 2.
That's so
30 for 30. The cover-up.
The brow cover-up.
Everyone's out here playing checkers and LeBron's playing chess.
He's 5 years ahead of it all. AD is the first person. Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, and Diana Taurasi, WNBA legend. So that's just the beginning of the list. I saw there may be a couple more WNBA players that we were hearing rumored and some other players that I'm sure they're going to continue to name. LeBron has all the tricks up his sleeve, so you know he's going to be pulling out some names. And with Anthony Davis, I'm sure that contract will just be eerily similar to the amount that he casually passes up to get a max free agent to come to Los Angeles. But Space Jam 2, we're all excited. We grew up with Space Jam 1, so we'll see if they can mirror it and maybe make
probably
it better.
Not,
we'll see. Probably not, but we'll see. Next big trade happened today. We'll probably be posting this tomorrow, but it's Wednesday, and it did happen earlier. Mike Conley Jr., going from Memphis to the Utah Jazz. He is Memphis. That guy's Memphis. Who else was? Mark Gasol. Where did he go? Toronto to go win a championship, and all of Memphis is rooting for Marc Gasol. You know that. He did nothing but dedicate his career to that team. Same thing with Mike Conley. So now he goes to a new spot and to try and maybe win a championship towards the end of his career, because I think there's a better chance there towards the end of his career than there would have been in Memphis. That's not fair. Saying there is a chance, but there definitely is a better scenario with him and Donovan Mitchell. If that backcourt, right. I do like that.
Super good defense.
They do have a good coach.
At least they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
they're going
to make the playoffs.
It's an interesting situation. I remember that Conley to the Jazz was rumored at the trade deadline.
I did hear
that was
too.
One of the main teams
it was
that
the
was
Jazz and Pistons.
Jazz and Pistons. And they weren't able to get a deal done then. I think they were very close, and there was one thing that threw it off. But now they eventually get it done. And it's exciting to see him go to another situation, but also what the Grizzlies get back in return. So we want to break down the details of this trade and talk about the same thing that we did with Los Angeles and with New Orleans to where the situation is for both of these teams right now. The Jazz received Mike Conley straight up, and the Grizzlies received Grayson Allen, a guy that they took in the first round last year, Kyle Korver, veteran, sharpshooter, champion, Jay Crowder, 23rd pick in the 2019 NBA draft, and a future first round pick. So they got a serious haul back, and I like the trade for both sides. Win-win. I think Mike Conley on the Jazz is going to help them take that next step. I don't know if it's going to be enough for them to do anything crazy, but I think that it's the right move for them right now to add a guy like this, a veteran presence on this team. So I like seeing this. And for the Grizzlies, who are still in a rebuild phase, they get a good return. I don't think Kyle Korver is going to be there. I think he's going to buy out. I think he'll go to a place like the Lakers, like we just mentioned. But getting Jay Crowder there and getting the picks there and everything like that, and Grace Allen, who's a future past first-round pick.
Right. He'll just trip like anybody
said,
for you.
Yeah, he'll trip anyone. Like with Corbin, like you said, with Mo Wagner, that's a guy with first-round talent. Like, why wouldn't you take a chance on him? Why don't you take a chance with Grayson Allen? The same situation.
Right.
First-round upside. So you go and do that, and the Grizzlies come out like bandits, in my opinion. And at the same time, the Jazz go get their guy, the person there had their eye set on. What does this mean, though? Rubio's not coming back. Yeah. Absolutely
not. Well, I think
not.
That was already given.
So where's Rubio going? I'm not sure, but we'll see what happens with him. I'm not a big fan of Rubio's game, to be 100% honest. Christian, what do you think about this trade as a whole?
So I give the Jazz, I'll just give them a B, because I think they're going to end up swimming in circles. This isn't going to be the player that puts them over the top. That contract is still really big, and that's why I like the fact that Memphis got it off their books. Now, Memphis, while the number 23 pick and the future first isn't necessarily the recipe to rebuild, but they're starting to get in that direction. They're starting to clear up space. They have good pieces.
They have the number two pick, so that is looking like John Morant. And you got Jaren Jackson Jr. last year, who's very athletic. So the two of them together, that pick and roll combo, the alley-oop combinations, and the fact that Jaren Jackson can spread the floor. This is going to be a scary team when you add shooters like, you know, Kyle Korver, if he did stay, but Grayson Allen, and you got other guys there that Brooks, you know, really good shooters on that team that are young.
Well, now you have flexibility for the first time. Gasol and Conley's contract, like, that was, like, most of their salary, and to have them gone now, like, that.
And this is now the official end of the grit era for the Grizzlies when they had Zach Randolph.
Yeah, when Zebo left.
Zebo, like, Marc Gasol, Tony Allen, and now, of course, him going to the Jazz. This is now the official end to the grit era, and we'll see what's up now in Memphis. I think David Fizdale got the short end of the stick there, but like we just all said, they really kind of peaked, and now we'll see if both these teams swim in circles. We'll kind of see.
I'd give the trade, look, the Jazz did well with this trade. Mike Conley isn't a game changer for them, but he's an upgrade over Ricky Rubio.
Oh, yeah.
We had a poll talking about what place they'll finish in the West. I think
it's 3-5.
3-5.
It's still
was
active.
Winning.
It's going to end by the time this is probably posted. But 3-5 was killing it. So
I said 6-8, but I think right in that 5-6 range.
No, I think 3-5. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them end at the 4 or 5 seed. Mm-hmm. I think 5 seed is where my gut's telling me, but 4 or 5 is realistic.
I just think in the West, the top tier teams are going to do some of the load management type scenarios, and I think the Jazz are going to play all 82 games very hard. So I think it's very likely they have their regular season is very inflated because they will just play all of those games very hard. Whereas the Lakers, I could see them sliding in the end of the season to give like Anthony Davis and LeBron some rest. And
well, depending on where they are, but
I mean, I think it's more likely like they're the Jazz are the team that's going to play. They're not going to sit people for load management. Like
load management's my favorite term. Like right. We're just managing the load. Like besides my other favorite term would be like fine dining. It's like how's the dining? It's like it's fine. Like you know what I mean? Like
so my older dog, I carry him up the stairs. My girlfriend makes fun of him. I'm just like, babe, it's load management. Like I'm trying to make sure that he can go up the stairs.
You got to keep longer. The miles on him. You know, like right? You got to keep him going.
Maybe he needs to run away from something. I need those miles on his short little legs.
Let me ask you guys really quickly. So, Mike Conley or Kyle Lowry?
Who Mike Kyle Lowry.
Ooh, I like that. Well,
so you said Mike Conley?
Mike Conley. If we're talking right now, if we're talking about for the future with the age difference.
Talking about for next year.
Yeah, for next year, I'm going with Conley.
Kyle Lowry. I mean, I'm not familiar on their contract, but I think Kyle Lowry also makes less than Mike
Conley. Kyle Lowry he makes around $30 million, but I think he just has 1 year left and then it might be a player option, but... Regardless, I'm just talking about for next year anyway.
Skill-wise.
Kyle, I mean, after that, especially after that Game 6 performance, I think Lowry's for sure the hot hand.
I'd say I'll be the tiebreaker. I'll go with Lowry just because the best ability is availability. And with Mike Conley, he's just had a history of, over the past at least 5 years, just not being able to stay healthy. And some of it's just been unfortunate injuries where he had a fracture in his... face at one point where he just ran into someone. So it's just freak stuff. But at the same time, Kyle Lowry, because also, yeah, his performance that he had in the finals, they're both really good defenders. Lowry is maybe a slightly better playmaker than Mike Conley, although Conley's a pretty good playmaker too.
I would take Conley's playmaking over him.
Weird stat, Kyle Lowry has the most charges taken. You know, he has taken the most charges in the NBA. That is the sole stat that makes him better.
He's got that. He's got that booty to land on.
I just remember that was the stat that they had put in the finals. I have to imagine it's over the last year. But I really after they put that stat, I really watched him. Like he is so good at sliding to the spot and then just rigor mortis and just gets like and just
gets stiff
because he's kind of thick. Like you know, shout out. He's kind of a bigger guy for being on that booty smaller, though. He's got that landing pad. You know, he's good at just taking that hit, and you know he's small enough to just fall down. But
yeah, I do like Conley though a lot. That's why I believe if he's able to stay healthy, 100%. But if you're going to talk about injury concern, he does have more injury concern, obviously, and the contract isn't as good. So you're taking context, Lowry. But if you're just taking skill versus skill, assuming both are healthy, I'm taking Conley absolutely.
That's very cavalier of you.
Thank you very much. We have some Celtics news to drop for you guys. Two players, actually. Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, both who most likely aren't going to be in Boston.
Right.
Two different scenarios. Kyrie now is flirting with the idea of the Nets. So we'll wrap that one in with it. So it's the Nets, the Lakers, so many other places. But he left his long-term agent, signed with, I believe it was Roc Nation.
Yes, he left his long-term agent, who was also the agent of Jason Tatum.
Okay. Oh, okay. Whoa. Interesting. But yeah, he apparently has ghosted the Celtics for the last 2 or 3 weeks and has had zero to complete minimal conversation with anybody on the team or with personnel, is what I've seen. So there's no chance he's coming back. Absolutely not. And the thing is, Al Horford, who has been the consistent rock for this team, he's been there through the playoff runs. He's been there through what you would consider the rebuild. He has been that consistent rock before Kyrie got there, before Hayward came in, and he's leaving now, seeking a long-term deal elsewhere. It's completely weird because the fact that he should be looking for a long-term deal there if they're confident about the direction of the team, because what you just said earlier about the Pelicans, the new Celtics, quote-unquote, are the Celtics the Celtics anymore? Because I don't think so either, because now you have Jaylen Brown, who underperformed last year most definitely, Jason Tatum, who underperformed last year, most definitely. And not that they weren't good players, because they were, but we all expected this stride forward, and we didn't see that. Instead, we saw rather a plateau, or if anything, a regression a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that was scary to see. And I saw a report today that Brad Stevens was, quote-unquote, force-feeding Gordon Hayward in the beginning of the year to try and get him back, which was a big reason why there was so many chemistry issues. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's the big domino that really knocked everything over. I don't know if he's the reason why the team wasn't what we all thought. But yeah, that's his guy. They had history together with Butler, and he brought him in. A lot of money for Gordon Hayward. Really devastating injury. And yeah, it's a good story. You're going to root for your guy. You're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. You're going to try and force feed him. And yeah, maybe that might stunt the regression of some of the other players that had to step up when needed. Mm-hmm. And now they're not needed as much. I think their value went down. There was a big reason why the Celtics swung and missed in the Anthony Davis thing. Now, you know they were active. Like, Corbin was saying, we're not sure what teams we were hearing that were active besides the Lakers. You know for a fact Danny Ainge and the Celtics were active. They were trying. They were prepping this for a long, long time. And they swung and missed. They lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. Whatever they had to give up, whatever you want to say about the Lakers haul that they had to give up, it's still the fact that the Celtics had a big package or two. And they had a ton of assets that they've been lining up for a while to go all in. And they tried to, and it didn't work out. And now Kyrie's leaving. Now Horford's leaving.
Right.
Now, is this a rebuild? And not like a full rebuild, because you do have some players that you can consider part of a good nucleus moving forward. But it's sort of a rebuild. Yeah. This is kind of a time now where we're looking at it. All the stars are leaving. Everyone's gone. Hayward's still there. What can he do? Is he going to just get thrust in the spotlight? Is this now Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's team? Do they go spend money elsewhere and try and bring in a new face? There's a lot of question marks for the Celtics right now.
And to give some context to the Al Horford situation, in the beginning of the day, it seemed like he was going to sign a 3-year deal with the Celtics. That's what reports were saying. And then reports later in the day said that he wasn't going to sign a deal and was looking for a 4-year deal, longer-term deal elsewhere. So it was weird that they had reports coming out that it was a done deal at 3 years, and then for him, or whatever had happened for him, to back out and then want a 4-year deal elsewhere. I thought that was really strange because I'd followed it throughout the day.
The 3-year to a 4-year demand?
Yeah, well, it just seemed that he was going to be a Celtic. It just seemed that he was going to re-sign, that negotiations were going well. And then, I don't know, I went to lunch and then took a poo, and then I came back, and he's just, now he wants a 4th year. And
hey, depending on how long those poops are, sometimes some shit changes. I'm dead.
I have my money toilet.
Yeah, you come out.
Corbin, you poop just as long as me.
Yeah, with the amount of tuna he intakes.
So but, nasty. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics with all of this, it's crazy to think about where we were a year ago at this time when I thought going into the season last year that the Celtics were clearly the best team in the East. Last year, when you thought of a starting lineup of Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, who both had had tremendous postseason runs the year before, Gordon Hayward, who, yes, was coming back from an injury, but was an all-star player before his injury, and Al Horford, you looked at them and thought, that's the best chance to beating the Warriors. Right, obviously,
scary Terry off the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Terry Rozier, who had a really good postseason run with the Celtics the year before too, and you thought, yeah, they have not a good chance to beat the Warriors, but the best chance. Obviously, we were wrong about that.
We thought they'd be for sure be the best team in the East. Yeah. Most people did, and then out of nowhere, the Raptors make their moves, and that and a lot Bucks. Had to do with Marc Gasol towards the end of that year. But the like you said, the Bucks did that too, bringing in Mirotić and really adding to a roster that was already as impressive as it was. That's a team that really continued to stack up. And then the 76ers going all in and bringing in Tobias Harris. That's another team that really jumped into the East. And it was crazy to see how we all thought it was a shoe-in for the Celtics and possibly the Pacers, who were devastated by the Oladipo injury. The East, we thought, was going to end way different than it actually did last year, to be 100% honest. Yeah,
the Celtics didn't get those top teams in the East got a shot in the ass right at the trade deadline. The Celtics didn't, and then they just looked worse as the year went on. And Scary Terry, every time he talks about the situation with the Celtics, it just does not sound good, the chemistry that they had.
Everything sounds bad.
And, I mean, I'll kind of get on Kyrie Irving for a second.
Jaylen Brown took a shot at Kyrie Irving on Instagram today.
It doesn't seem like Kyrie's the best leader. That's why I think him going to L.A. is very likely in my mind, because he gets to hide behind two giants.
But that's what he asked for. He asked for his own team. Yeah. He asked to be the leader.
But he even said later. Yeah, he even said earlier this year, just like, wow, I didn't realize how difficult it was to lead. And I'm
shit,
sorry,
bro.
LeBron,
shit,
basically,
bro. for not playing the best player ever to play basketball.
The Celtics, just the culture that they've created and the culture that Danny Ainge has created with how he's treated players in recent memory. I mean, going back to the big 3 days of Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, Danny Ainge traded away Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. Yes, he got an absolute haul for them, but especially Paul Pierce, one of the greatest Celtics to ever play, traded him away, alienated Ray Allen, traded away Isaiah Thomas after his sister died in the playoffs, and then Isaiah Thomas injures his hip, and Danny Ainge convinces him to play through the injury. Isaiah Thomas gets injured even worse and loses out on over $100 million. Trades away Jay Crowder moments before his mom dies. This is something where, yes, basketball is a business, but at the end of the day, you're dealing with people, and when you don't treat people the way that you just should be treating people in general, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. And that's what's happening with Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
That's the difference. As much as I've been critical with the Lakers and how much dysfunction they have in their front office, they take care of their superstars. You look at Kobe Bryant, he ruptured his Achilles because he was trying to will the team to the playoffs. What did the Lakers do? He was in the last year of his contract. They give him a 2-year, $48.5 million contract, and it pretty much comes out that, yes, this is a thank you for everything that you have done, which at the time I thought the 3-year, $90 million contract he signed before was a thank you, but it's just...
Corbin's like, well, you know, the nickel and diming now.
LeBron James signing with the Lakers, complete dysfunction this first year. They realize, look, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have someone like LeBron James here. We cannot waste what we have in front of us. So they mortgage the future for the present with LeBron James. They go in and get Anthony Davis.
Yep.
This is what they do. The Celtics, as good of a general manager as Danny Ainge is, he needs to learn how to treat his players with a lot more respect and just treat them the way that they deserve to be treated, because this is the result. You get good players, but when it's time for them to recommit, you're going to have someone... Look, Kyrie Irving, we thought for a while, was going to be leaving the Celtics. Al Horford, I was shocked today when I saw that he was leaving. I thought he ingratiated himself into the Celtics culture, Celtics like I said, fans.
He was their rock. He was their leader.
Yeah, I have someone that I talk to pretty much every day who's a Boston Celtics fan. He loves Al Horford. And Al Horford seemed like he was loved by so many different Celtics fans. To see, look, nothing's for certain. Something's he could still on. Come back. Yeah.
Like something Christian definitely said, that it seemed like on. He was a lock to be a Celtic, and then it just didn't happen.
It looked like he was going into those negotiations like looking to re-sign. And to comment on what Corbin said, if you are dealing with people and you treat them as an asset on a balance sheet, like eventually that will happen, because there are two components.
Right. You want to treat like a family.
Well, no, you can draft whoever you want. You can draft really well, but eventually that contract will end. You cannot keep, there's no franchise tag in the NBA. Like, you then have to put on your salesman hat and go pitch them again on why they should stay. Right. If you're cold-hearted, you know, you're dealing with humans. So yeah, you can make the best, oh, we got Jason Tatum and we didn't get Markelle Fultz. Like, great move. But now you're getting to the point where Jason Tatum's going to re-sign at some point. Like, do you think you've sold him enough for him to re-stay? Like, they're on the brink of losing everything. Like,
that's why I said this is much a rebuild now.
Tatum will be a restricted free agent, so but he eventually, probably won't leave. But yeah, eventually he'll be unrestricted.
There's no franchise tag.
Yeah, I know Marcus Smart was talking about coming back, but that was before all this stuff went down. So who knows
and,
now?
And he was a restricted free happens? Agent, too.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on with that. We'll move on briefly to the Nets not pursuing Kyrie if KD doesn't come with him. It's kind of a weird report.
That'd be fools.
I don't think KD's going anywhere. I think all three of us agreed and said he was going to probably stay in Golden State.
Right. If the Warriors don't offer Durant a max 5-year deal, though, they look so awful.
Oh, I agree.
That goes back to the treating players as actual people instead of assets. After, just like the Celtics had convinced Isaiah Thomas to come back from his hip injury too soon. Right. The Warriors convinced Kevin Durant to come back from his calf injury clearly way too soon.
Right.
If they don't give him a 5-year max, they look awful.
And for Bob Myers to get up on the stand and cry, and then for him to do that, he would be the biggest fraud in the NBA next to Danny Ainge.
But for the Nets, it doesn't make sense if you make this cap move that you did. We talked about the trade the last podcast. And I'm confused why now that would matter if KD came or not. Like, if you have the opportunity to sign Kyrie, that was clearly a guy that you wanted, you go sign Kyrie. Like, you have the money to go sign Kyrie, you do it. But unless you are like, okay, now that we don't have an opportunity to get him, we're keeping D'Lo. Like, that's what we're doing, and then we're going to find someone else that's not going to conflict with their game, because I think the two of them just can't coexist. That's just something I don't see happening.
It's two guards.
It's not something I see happening. They're too similar. And I think right now the Nets would be fools not to go for that, but like we mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised to see Julius Randle going over there and a couple other pieces, you know, maybe a Tobias Harris, you know, even though getting the two of them would be practically going after the same position, but different players. It's still a lot of players out there that you can go disperse this money to that isn't necessarily Kemba, Kyrie, Jimmy Buckets, but it could be one of those guys.
Yeah. No, I think that report, you know, you can never know who the report specifically comes from, but if Brooklyn is smart, and it seems like they have been with the moves that they've made, it's not going to be a mutually exclusive deal where you have to get both of them. Like, you land whoever you can land if you're Brooklyn, and you'd be effing happy.
Oh, exactly. You made the money, so right. Go spend that money.
Yeah, especially after the trade they made where they gave up two first
round. That's what I'm saying. You made that money happen. You got to go spend it and make your team better. You're in win mode, win now mode.
Yeah.
Right. There's supposedly the reason why the Nets are considering not going after Kyrie if they can't get KD with him. And there's supposedly been some other teams who have taken Kyrie off of their board because they're concerned just about his mercurial personality and him being the lone wolf to come over.
He thinks the world's flat. Like, he's out of his mind.
He's a strange guy. And it takes a lot to keep him happy. And it just seems like everywhere that he's been, he's never really been happy. And he can change his mind on stuff really quickly. Before the year started, he was saying the Celtics had a pep rally before the season started. And Kyrie Irving said to the whole crowd, if you'll have me back, I'd like to stay.
Yeah, and then things changed. That's how the NBA works. It's crazy.
It is, but it's just Kyrie's a strange type of guy, but still, with
as same talented... Same with Kawhi, same thing. Like, you don't know.
Strange in a different way. Kyrie is high maintenance. Kawhi Leonard is... As much high maintenance as Kyrie is, Kawhi is the exact opposite.
More along the lines of it's hard to read these guys, and it may be the fact that Kawhi is just less in front of you with it, and the fact that you have Kyrie that goes back and forth and is just very sporadic.
He just lives in the moment.
It's just hard to read both of them. That's kind of where my comparison lied between the two of them.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you're going to get between the two of them, regardless of how they deliver it. You know, it's just really weird. But we're going to just briefly talk about just the NBA, NBA draft. We have first round talent Jarrett Culver signing with Adidas today. That's not cool. Much to go down, but it is happening.
There's no big Puma Hall this year.
Yeah, there's no big Puma Hall last year, but there very much could be, like Corbin just said. So Puma's a brand to look out for. I'm excited to see who eventually signs with, Nike, Under Armour, where they fall into place.
New Balance is
a dark horse now. Oh my God. But yeah, so for the draft, I'm excited to see what the Hawks do, who have two first round picks.
Yeah, in the top 10. They might trade up.
They very much might trade up with the Pelicans. They may package those picks and move up. Even maybe with the Knicks. We'll see if they're not apparently sold on RJ Barrett. Like, we will see what happens, but the draft is definitely gonna be exciting. The Pelicans are definitely gonna come out like bandits, regardless what happens. I think the
Nola's going
to
be
also
lit. Bourbon Street, when Zion's name is announced, is going to be
insane. Yeah, and you remember the reactions that it was with Zion. People were saying he wouldn't have been happy to go to New Orleans. That's a weird market. Look at what they just did. They got all of these young players. They got this crew now. They're going to get along they got along with in L.A. Remember how they were all best friends? Like, same thing. Just in New Orleans now. Now they have to go eat beignets and stuff like
and
that.
And Josh Hart, I've already seen accounts, like Pelicans Twitter accounts, saying how Josh Hart's already a fan favorite, that he's
already wearing all of the team gear at his gaming events right now. He was at some Fortnite thing, and he was wearing a New Orleans Pelicans t-shirt, and like it was all over social media. Well, so he's already embracing
the news
that city.
Broke while he was streaming on Twitch playing Fortnite, I'm pretty sure.
Really? I'd love to see that reaction.
He was... He tweeted out to, I forgot who, some music rapper that is from New Orleans. He's tweeting back and forth with him, talking about how, you need to get to some games this year. I forgot who it was, but whoever it was had tweeted out about how I can't wait to see Josh Hart.
And Josh Hart's with his brothers that he was with in L.A.
Yeah, and they were a fun group. We all said we're
sad to see him. Yeah, RIP. I might actually get a Josh Hart jersey. That may be my way to go. Because I don't want Alonzo's jersey, to be 100% honest. And Ingram may just be the next Chris Bosh and not have a very long career, to be honest.
His injury is completely different from Chris Bosh's. Chris Bosh's blood clot was genetic. Brandon Ingram, at least from what has been reported so far, is that his injury was a structural thing.
You do have to draw the comparison, though, at some point. With the type of players that they are but, in the similar injury, to draw that comparison.
No, because from everything that even doctors have said is that it all makes sense that
it was Brandon Ingram. It was more of a half joke because I didn't want his jersey, but it was just more of the fact that he may have a long career, yes, but just the fact that there was a blood clot.
Yeah, I don't it's know scary. It's always scary
that,
because
I can remember that had that injury besides Chris
Brandon Bobby. Ingram, if he gets another blood clot, his career could completely be over, which is terrifying for him, too.
Right, exactly.
But now as Laker fans, we don't got to worry about
it. AD looking healthy this year.
I still want him to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but, best like, wishes, but it's not 100%. Like it's going to hurt our long-term.
I want to ask you guys before we wrap this up. Pelicans have the number 4 pick. Yes, they might end up trading it. If they keep it, well, technically, Lakers will be picking for the Pelicans. But who do you want to see go at number 4? We know Zion's going number 1.
Jared Culver.
I want to see Hunter from Virginia.
DeAndre Hunter?
DeAndre Hunter. I think he's the best fit there. Because I just
don't know why. I've just seen him linked to them on so many mocks. I don't know why.
Culver or Hunter?
DeAndre Hunter.
And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised to see them move back. You know, maybe take someone else that they have their eye on. I'd love to see them gain even more assets and move that pick back.
I would. If they're really going to be the Celtics.
Yeah, just keep stockpiling. That would be
just
crazy.
Keep loading up. Yeah, no.
Yeah, move back to 11 with the Timberwolves and just pick up a future first and something else. Like, that'd be crazy.
I think it's super likely they go and get R.J. Barrett.
Up to 2 and get R.J. Barrett?
I don't know why. I just feel like that would maybe package in the Lakers pick, the upcoming Lakers pick, because let's be honest, they're going to be really good. That's going to be a later end pick. So,
well, that wouldn't be enough to get up to number 2.
I mean, let's see what else you can throw at them. Let's see, you know, what can you tickle? What can you squeal? What can you nickel and dime? What can you save Josh Hart? Can you get the trade done on the 30th? No, how can you really nickel and dime?
Yeah, that's the question. But we're going to end with a fun way that we're going to end pretty much all Unwrapped podcasts now.
I want them to pick Jarrett Culver, by the way.
Okay. Just whoever or awkwardly rock a Lakers hat for the whole year and not be a Laker.
If they fall back and trade 4 for picks 8 and 10 from the Hawks, Jackson Hayes makes a ton of sense because they need a center to pair with the rest of the lineup.
That is true. And we'll see what they do. They could bring in a guy like Brook Lopez.
Are they keeping Julio Okafor?
Someone like that.
I believe he's a free agent. They'll probably want to re-sign him. But
he had a good little resurgence on them last year.
Yeah, you know, he did.
All right, well, let's do this non-basketball.
Yeah, we're going to end all of our Unwrapped podcasts now with just a little weird debate that wouldn't have to do with sports. Just we'll make it quick. But this time, if you have the number 1 pick in the takeout pizza draft,
delivery
who
pizza.
Are you taking? And we're all going to share our opinion on
and
this.
It has to be from big name brands.
Big name brands. So, can't be the local, you know, mom and pop and pizzeria.
Because I think Roundtable might even be only like the West Coast too.
Oh, really?
So I think Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's. I think those are the 3 national, even world brands. Because I know Domino's is
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
So what's your out of those 3? What is your guys' favorite?
I'm going Domino's, but Pizza Hut is a close second for me.
They got
that dinner box. That thing slaps.
Oh, yeah. The pizzones are fire.
No, everything about Pizza Hut, I'll accept it. I love it. But Domino's with that garlicky everything.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And those bowls. I don't know if you tried the garlic bread bowls
with
pasta and chicken.
Good.
Yeah,
wings are
impressive. Domino's takes it to another level, definitely, sometimes.
I'm going with Pizza Hut.
Okay.
Let me tell you about Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut is Little Caesars pretending to be actual pizza. Pizza Hut, their pizza is garbage. All of their Cinnasticks, wings, pizzones, gas. They are awesome. But Pizza Hut has the worst pizza. Papa John's, best sauce. Best sauce
Papa
out of
John's
all of them.
Good. Are you taking Papa John's?
No. Domino's with that garlic crust thing that they added a couple, because that was their big thing that they like redid their pizza a couple years ago.
That was more than a couple years ago. That had to be almost.
No, it was like 5 or 6 years ago.
I was going to say it had to be like 6, 7 years ago.
But that was like their thing. It's like, we're redoing our crust. They redid their menu. And like, I've been a fan ever since. I've skipped back and forth. I used to be a huge Pizza Hut guy when our friend was the manager. But it tastes like Little Caesars to me now. Like, I can't do it.
I could see it. A little quicker to be ready, but I think the mom and pops nearby are always that way.
Toppers, if you're in California.
But lately, I've been saving that money and going and getting a DiGiorno or something like that.
Yeah,
and
I like DiGiorno.
I get this California Pizza Kitchen. I know a lot of our East Coast listeners, I'm assuming, don't have California Pizza Kitchen at the East Coast, but they got this barbecue chicken pizza that is amazing. No, this thin crust, and I grabbed that and a DiGiorno's.
No, the Walmart's in Louisiana have them. The shipping pizzas are there. That's national. Like,
it's just the name. It happens to be very niche.
Something also as national as Cane's. Have you ever had Cane's?
Oh, I went to Arizona State.
Their toast,
Cane's right there.
You can get their toast. They sell them in the
double
stores.
Toast, no slaw.
Oh, dude, if you get coleslaw at Cane's, you need to be you're probably a serial killer. you probably have a child in your basement changing the eggs. Like, that is the weirdest. When someone told me you could substitute the coleslaw, I almost wanted to, like, invoice them for all the coleslaw I threw out. It's not even good coleslaw. It's like your tuna. That. It's like tortured tuna.
Oh, yeah. Tuna from Subway's delicious.
We're not having that debate today.
We're not going to that debate. There's no debate to be had.
If you want to have the salary cap debate, I want my own on the tuna from Subway.
But that's all we have for you guys today for episode 54 of NBA Unwrapped. We want to thank you guys for listening and getting excited with us. Such an amazing time of year, even with the finals now being over and officially being off season. It's still just as fun with the NBA. There's been crazy stuff, and we're only expecting more and more to happen. We have all of these free agents that are going to land in different spots. We have a big guest coming on next time, a friend of the show that was on last time. That'll be talking where some of these free agents are going to be going. We'll be reviewing the NBA draft when all of the dominoes fall into place. So we're really excited about all that. We want to remind you guys to listen to us on pretty much anywhere that you can listen to podcasts at this point.
Just type our name in, you'll find
us. Yeah, Anchor, our host site. You have Apple, you have Google,
Spotify,
Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public. It's just say Grindr. you want to be dating.
All right, I'm on there. But
if you want a dating app, you can hit Chris on Grindr. But it's a ton of platforms. We're super proud to be a part of so much more now and growing. If you want to see us anywhere else, please let us know. We'd love to venture anywhere that listeners want us. We do have a new partnership coming very soon. We'll be launching on the first with us. We can kind of foreshadow it now. It's Sportscaster. Hopefully some of our contributors listen to this, and it's going to be a new video platform.
You can see our ugly faces.
Yeah, we could do a direct streaming to that app. We're going to be doing stuff during games, before games, after games. Just more ways for us to become more interactive with you guys. And like you said, Christian, put a face behind our beautiful voices that you've been falling in love with for a couple years now. You can finally put a face here and fall in love with us even more. And we're so excited to use it. We hope you guys are too. Sportscaster, it's just an R at the end, no ER. So like the weekend, you know, with ND, keep it nice and casual, keep it nice and modern. But also thank you to our network sponsors at Yamble Sports.
Ooh, I'm so sad that
taking a little off season right now.
Yeah, I want them game 7.
Oh, that's what we were hoping. We were just hoping for more and more games for the Yamble games. That's all we were hoping for.
I hope they do a draft thing. That'd be
cool. Yeah, but we're going to see what happens. We know they're coming back for NFL, so be on the lookout for that. And if you haven't already, download Yamble on Apple or Android, and you can start making predictions whenever they do contests. I'm sure they'll do stuff in the off season.
Oh yeah,
they're not just going to stay dormant. I know that they're smart guys. I actually have a phone call with them coming up, so
I'm excited with that.
Talk some more and stuff with them. But with Sportscast, we're so excited with them. With fantasy football at FFB Unwrapped, we have an exclusive partnership now with Sleeper, the Sleeper app. So go download them if you're going to be playing fantasy football this year. We're going to be running all of our Unwrapped leagues for our network through Sleeper and be promoting them as well. So thank you to all of our sponsors, and follow us on Twitter for this particular podcast at NBA Unwrapped. Follow our network's page at Unwrapped Sports. You can follow our pages at Perry Aston for myself, Christian at McGowan75, and Corbin at Corbin Unwrapped. Go to our website at unwrappedsports.com to check out all of our articles and our partner podcasts, everything that we got going on there, as well as signing up for our weekly newsletter. The little orange box on the homepage takes 2.5 seconds to get the best weekly content sent to you. So make sure to go sign up for that. Our newsletters have been absolutely fire, and we're so thankful for all of our contributors that have been with us. For the new ones that have come on, the entire team has been just shoveling out some fantastic content, and we're all doing a great job here trying to find more ways to keep our listeners involved. And thank you guys for being so interactive with us on social media. Go like our page on Facebook as well. That's something we're not used to saying. We actually have a new Facebook page, so go look up Unwrapped Sports Network. Hit us with a like on there too. I just wanted to thank you guys again for listening to NBA Unwrapped, and we're going to catch you guys next time.
Have a good one.